please like, comment, and subscribe.
Hi, I'm Kim.
I'm Tora.
And this is our podcast, Kicking It with Kim and Tora. Thank you for joining us today. Today we have several topics that we want to discuss, of course. And the first is Amir Locke.
Yes. I just wanted to just touch bases with you and find out and get your opinion on what do you think about the no-knock warrant and when it's in a situation like this, where the young man had a gun, he was in his house, he had nothing to do with the warrant, he had nothing to do with the killing, why the police were at that address for that warrant. And they had three other addresses that they were supposed to go to. His, I'm assuming it was the first one, but he was 22 years old. He was in his blanket, wrapped up, knocked out sleep. And it shows that he had a gun, but he never pointed it at the police. It almost to me, just because I'm a African-American woman, and I can only imagine if I had a gun and I
would have blasted them.
See, and they
did not. You did. How would I know?
No, no, no. They used a key, an extra key, got in, walked in the house, and they yelled, "Police!" And all you hear is, "Police, show me your hands." Within 9 seconds, not, and I'm talking about really fast. "Police, show me your hands." Bang, bang. He's dead. 9 seconds. 9 seconds from the time they open that door to they go on the couch where he is, kick the couch to wake him up, and then kill him. Now, what I saw as a Black woman was him removing the gun to let them know, like, "Look, I don't know what's going on, but I got a gun under here. I'm going to put it down on my ottoman." That's what I saw. I didn't see him, or even they only show you a clip of that for some reason, but it doesn't look like the gun was on the ottoman. It looked like it was wrapped up under the blanket with him. I don't know why. Maybe he's, I mean, I would not, okay, so I'm not going to question why he has a gun, because like I said, there are plenty nationalities in the world that has guns. Kids have guns.
I have guns. I have a license.
And that's
and I
right.
I will use my guns if yes. you come in my door and
without
I didn't tell you to come
giving
in.
Giving you a chance bottom to line. Know who you are. That's what I'm saying. When people are asleep and you don't have a clue who someone is, all you hear is boom, 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 boom. What makes you think a criminal won't use that tactic to say, "I'm a cop," to hurry up and throw you off guard? So this is, you gotta stop this. We said police. Did you not know I had a friend that got robbed at a car? And the first thing they said was, "Put your hands up, police." And it made her turn around and it was a robber.
Yeah, there are people who get arrested for impersonating police. So it's not unheard of.
So my thing is when the police do this, they have got to stop thinking that that is a safe word for them to make other people think, well, we need to fall back because the police are here. It could be anyone. You don't know. Give me a chance to see who you are so we can both do this thing the right way. They gave them no chance. You and I both have children that age, so they're kids to us. I don't want to hear this is a 22-year-old grown man. Whatever.
That's a kid.
He is.
They'll tell you they're grown, but those are kids.
Of course, they are children. When you have your own 22-year-old, and I don't care what mothers, you know that child is not a grown man or woman. I don't care what they're doing in life. You look at them and be like, he's still a child.
I think a bigger issue is no-knock warrants. Is that a good idea? Is that something that is feasible in this day and age?
Because we don't even know why it was there. It's, you know, that's the city of George Floyd. Why is it there?
Now, you know that I didn't watch it. The only reason I know about it is because of TikTok. Mm-hmm. I think I may have seen them
throwing
him under the blanket because I tried to turn real quick because I don't want to see anybody get shot. No. I really don't want PTSD from witnessing murders.
I let Antoine see it and I turned my head the second time. I only need to see it once.
I never saw that.
Let's just say back in the day, what would have been the benefit of a no-knock warrant? Because understand times have completely changed. What would be the benefits for back in the 70s or 80s, 90s, when that was not even an argument? I never heard anyone back in the day arguing, "Oh my God, they busted my house and they didn't even knock."
That's
I never
because
heard
we didn't have any cell phones. And they were just killing people and doing what the hell they wanted and nobody knew. So I don't ever think that's a good idea. There's too much potential for human error with regard to addresses, with regard to getting the proper person. Let's say you're at the right address, but five mm-hmm. people are in the house. There's mm-hmm. just, I don't think it's a good idea. It's not working.
So really quick, for all the people who say, well, he had a gun, and you know other nationalities have guns and they have been able to talk them, the gun out of their hand, or talk, you know, the situation to a peaceful resolution. To all those people who say the 22-year-old shouldn't have had a gun, what do you think?
That the United States Constitution, Second Amendment says you can have one.
So
what exactly is the problem? He's exercising his constitutional rights, mm-hmm. and they may not wish to, you don't have to, but that doesn't stop him from being able to. So I don't feel the need to defend him having a gun. I don't know if it was registered or legal or whatever, but this is a country where people have guns. It's just that simple.
It would be nice to get a police officer on here maybe to see.
We should do that again.
Yeah, to see their point of view when you see something actually. Like you said, back in the day, we didn't have those cell phones.
Girl, I bet they were killing people left and right. Oh, did you see that video on TikTok where this reporter said he asked a white cop in Baltimore, or the white cop in Baltimore said, we have quotas. And so we have to arrest a certain number of people each month, and we're not going to go into the white neighborhoods because they could be powerful. So we go into the black neighborhoods because they don't have any power. And he said, do you think black people have been, he said, do you think all this time, all those black people were lying about being abused? We do abuse them. Part of it's racism.
It was a white cop saying this?
Uh-huh. And he said, part of it's racism and part of it is power. They don't have any power. So we just know about it now. They've been Ice Cube and them, NWA.
Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
they were talking about, police brutality. Yeah. This has been going on for decades. These are the slave patrols.
And so. I want this platform we're on to be not only what we say here, but also what we say at the, what they say, coffee table, but we say dining room table, uh-huh. you know? Uh-huh. So I want to be able to say things that we normally, not all the time, but just we normally wouldn't say on a public platform. So I want to be able to say what I'm saying and be comfortable, because it's just a question. I don't want anyone saying, oh, you're spewing your views. No, it's a question.
I want them to say whatever they think. I'm going to say what I think. I say it in public. I say mm-hmm. it in private. If you agree, let us know. If you disagree, we can have a conversation, because I can defend my views and I might be wrong about something.
And see, so that's where I want us, you and I, to be with everyone who might ever listen. I want us to say this. Do you fear, or do you think, two sides, that the Caucasian population will start thinking, what, black people are gonna start getting sick of these bad apples? And do you think the other side are saying, as black people, black people are gonna start getting sick of these bad apples. And so those two things together is gonna equal something bad in the future, meaning that they were protesting. And she was said, you better be lucky that black people are looking for reparation instead of retaliation. You think that white people are, I'm quite sure the ones who are good and don't play this stuff are sitting there going, I'm sick and tired of it. Like, I'm sick and tired of looking at them thinking, y'all know I'm not one of them. Y'all know I'm white, but I'm not one of them. Because I do have some friends, and I know they don't want to be put in that same group. I hear that as black people, we are saying, we got to do something. And I hear white people being like, dang, man, what are y'all going to do? You know what I mean? Like, what are y'all going to do? I mean, it's our fight with y'all, but what can we do? And okay. I'm saying,
so the white people have been abusing, enslaving, lynching, murdering, unjustly imprisoning us since they came here, because we were already here, a lot of us, but since they came here, and we have yet to retaliate. Mm-hmm. So I think that any fear on their part that we're going to, maybe a little misplaced. We haven't done it yet. We didn't do it after all those high profile police killings. We've never done it. Now, I don't say we shouldn't. I just say we've never done it. And right. I say that them not wanting to teach critical race theory, all of that, stems right back to their fear that we're going to retaliate because everybody's going to see how horrible they've been.
Mm.
That's my opinion about them.
Okay.
As for black people, man, we need to find some self-love, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, maybe we should be retaliating. How mm-hmm. else do you end it? Now, I'm and not going to sit. How else
could you retaliate? You know, if you're either with violence.
I'm not going to sit on here and encourage people to do illegal things. I'm an officer of the court. Mm-hmm. But I am saying there comes a point where a people need to stand up and defend themselves and make people know, if you touch one of mine, you're going to know about it. You and everybody connected to you. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's time for that. But will we ever get there? I don't know, because they are true that it doesn't appear to be our nature. It does. We haven't done it all this time.
That's funny you said that, because I think of certain instances, you know, where there is a child who might be biracial. And I look at how they handled that case compared to they handled two Black couple cases. And I think to myself, I sometimes think that they're like, look, when you can't hit the wrong target. Like you said, the cop was saying, you know, we go into these neighborhoods because they're underfunded, underrepresented, and they have nobody to back them. So I feel like I'm watching this one case, and I won't speak on it just yet. I want to see the outcome first before I speak on it. But I feel like they are handling this case really quick. And, you know, like the little boy who was on the phone with his mom, and his mother's Caucasian, they've already found her guilty. The police guilt, saying that she pulled out her stun gun and it was really her gun.
I have to say, I've stopped watching that because it brings down my vibration. Wow. There's never anything good. There's stun gunning, killing, but it's never good. So I am aware that in the United States, the police are brutalizing and unjustly killing Black people as a general trend that appears to be increasing, or that we appear to be seeing more than we've ever seen. However,
and I would like to also talk about that.
However, I don't need to see every case. I don't need to know every name. I don't need to say their names. I don't need to do any of that, because it just brings me down. And my goal is to get as high up as I can to help figure out how to save us. And I can't do that if I'm wallowing in misery because I keep on watching Black people get killed.
And see, I feel like we're never going to even get there as a group. I feel like as a group, we're never going to get there.
I feel like we are. Oh, yeah.
I feel like we all are just so happy to not be chosen at that moment. I really do. I mean, that's just, I know it's a sad opinion to feel. I'm not talking about us personally. I'm talking about as a mass. I feel like because I hear so many parents now saying this, I saw it on the news. I did not think it was going to happen to me and my child. And it's like, really? I'm not that cocky. Not that cocky, because it's too many. Every kid can't be this. And I would never say anyone deserves to be killed. But I am definitely not saying all of these kids were rose-colored petal kids. And I'm not saying that they were all thugs and horrible bad kids. I'm just saying that I feel like, you know, we need to not think that it can't happen to our own.
But I think I've said this before. Even if you're a thug, it doesn't mean the police should kill you. They didn't kill Dylann Roof. They don't kill white people who murder up everybody. There is a legal system.
Yeah, yeah.
We always go back. Incarceration or arrest, incarceration, magistrate hearing, a trial, a conviction, sentencing. Mm-hmm. It is not, oh, he was a thug, so the police shot him. Oh, well, he was a thug. No, that's not how it works.
Well, we might need to hear more people like you say that, because I'm going to just speak from my personal opinion. I do, and I think it's a personal thing. I do hear young Black men and women do horrific crimes, and I'm so upset and angry. Like, there's there's a dude out there who killed his child's mother. She's 27, and threw his baby, two-day-old baby, in the Mississippi River. Now, I hear that crime, and I don't think you should be taken away in handcuffs and prosecuted.
Guess what? Guess how many times they got the wrong person? Look how many people are getting out of jail after 40 years. And it is a racist system. We have no confidence that they have the right person with the right crime. Put them through the system. That's what it's there for.
See how easy it was for you to just let that be known? for what we feel inside, because I believe that's why we excuse so much, because we have already said, well, what did he, see how I gave you the scenario? That's a fact that this situation happened. I, like you say, he could be the wrong person. It might not, I mean, it might be, and it might not be. We don't know because we weren't there, but it goes to a process. But do you see how it's easy for me to already hate this person so much that I don't believe he should have the same air we breathe?
Did you feel they should do that? When the white guy went and shot up the black church, did you feel they should have just murdered him?
Absolutely. I felt that they should, that he
should have shot him and murdered him, and he should never have gone to jail.
He should not be breathing the air. If there had been 100 black cops that had arrested him, I do believe mysteriously he might have looked like he had a gun when they were pulling him over, like they say with so many others. If that was, you know what I'm saying? Like, I did not want him breathing that same air whatsoever, ever, you know? However, personally, was I looking at him as a part of my community? Like, how dare you? I was looking at him more so like, I mean.
But we have to separate that out, because every black murderer doesn't represent us. He represents himself, just like a white murderer. We never, see, is one thing when white people do something to us, we're doing it to ourselves. We are putting on the shoulders of one murderer the need to represent all of us, putting on the shoulders of one beauty queen the need to represent. No, that's that person. The same way Cuomo doesn't represent all of them, the same way Joe Rogan doesn't represent all of them. No, Whoopi doesn't represent all of us. We have to stop. And that is internalized white supremacy. We're doing it. You can subjugate a people so long that you don't have to do anything anymore. They will do it to themselves. And that's what we're doing. I want every black suspect to be put through the same system all the white suspects go through. Okay. No difference.
Okay. I love the way we are having this conversation, because I know that I represent a small portion of our community, because the reason why I'm saying I know I do is because I read the comments. And so there are comments after you hear the situation of a man unaliving his child's mother and his child, you hear the comments of people of other nationalities say, I already knew what race this person was before, you know, when I heard the story. And then I hear other people say, well, how could you say that? We don't say anything when you go shoot up the schools or movie theaters and we don't just say, we automatically know.
But we do. Yes, we do.
We do.
They're mass murderers.
I want to have this conversation because we do.
We do know. And we say it among ourselves. Mm-hmm. But I will say their opinion is not our issue. They can think whatever they want to think. Our job is to protect our people. There is a system here. It is biased. Mm-hmm. It is often enforced unfairly toward us. So at every turn, I need you to put them through the system. It may not be him. He may not have done what you said. The eyewitness may be wrong. I really don't know. He is innocent until proven guilty. That's our system. I don't care what color they are. White too, really. I actually feel that way about white people too, because I don't know. I'm not there. Let's get the system going and try to figure it out.
And I'm glad. That's what I was going to say. Let's just know that that is something we would love to open a conversation up about, because I love having everything said on both sides of what's going on today with all of that.
We've only got like a few minutes left. I don't think we get to our all our topics, but one more that we can do is Big O or Little O Black History Month. What do you think about it?
Well, I was just asked last night by a Caucasian man at the casino. I was asked, how did I feel about Black History Month? Do I feel like it's, you know, a thing now? I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more. I was offended immediately as soon as he said, what do you think about Black History Month? You think it's a thing anymore, or do you think it's just being washed over? And I immediately was like, and then I thought about it, I said, let that go. Find out what he thinks. And I let it go. And I said, wow, you're right. Is it because I'm older? But no, my children are not bringing to me and asking me, do I know who discovered this? And do I remember coming to, when I would find out just a little bit of knowledge about Black history, I remember passing it on. I remember in February, I would be like, you know, did you know Martin Luther King was, you know, stabbed before he was, you know, shot and killed? Did you know that
suffocated? Did you hear that? Suffocated, yes. In the hospital.
And did you know that his mother was shot and killed, you know, after he was killed? And did you know that, like, I remember passing that type, and not saying that that's great Black history, but it was this Black history that you just did not know. You never had a clue about the people who, you know, just everything. You know, did you know that, you know, Aretha Franklin family, it was mainly celebrities. But then I also talked about, you know, people who invented certain things that, you know, plasma and the first, you know, open heart and the first person who separated.
What does a white guy think? He thought we are doing it or we should?
No,
or
he thought it's just not even a thing anymore. He said it's not even, he said he hasn't really seen anything on TV that's been promoting it or any TV show. And then I thought about it and I felt like he was nailed it. So I, of course, called my children up and asked them. I was like, yo, do y'all realize it's Black History Month? They were like, yeah. I was like, so do you not think we should like be texting each other positive things about, you know, Black history and stuff like that? And it's like, oh, I mean, yeah, it's not really like that anymore.
Oh, your kids are funny.
They're just like, nah, it's not even really like that anymore. And I'm like, what? Well, and in their mind, they don't understand because everything has gotten better in their era, why there was a BET, why there is a Black History Month. They're kind of like Morgan Freeman when he said, let's just stop talking about it. And it's like, but how could you forget? You're older than me.
Well, in my life, every month is Black History Month. Mm-hmm. Every day is Black History Day. All throughout the year, I will text my kids something. Hey, did you hear about this? Hey, look at that. Did you see this? But the other thing is, Black History Month is too damn negative. I'm looking at this show and Emmett Till and and the little young boy who got electrocuted at 8 or 9. It's all horrific.
Oh, yeah. But yeah,
Black history, that stuff is too. Now I don't want to hear a whole month of that crap. I'll be depressed. I won't even be able to function the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. So I don't like it. And I think that a lot of Black people have, at least on the social media, and you know, what you see depends on your frame of mind. So the people who come across my timeline have a certain mindset. Most of them reject it. They are talking about Black stuff, but they all say, it's all year. What do they mean a month? We are Black history. We're Black 365 days of the year and all that kind of stuff. So
that goes to what we talk about creating content on TikTok, how we might bring all this to the platform, but we get no credit for it, you know?
Yeah, I don't want to see any white people posting about, well, that's not true. There are some white people who are next level. They're not bringing us Charles Drew or, you know.
I'm telling you, they are people who are sick and tired. Yeah.
They are bringing us next level, deep stuff that we didn't know about. And if they have something to say, I'm happy to hear it. But all the dumb stuff like, you know, I don't want to hear all the people who were lynched and killed, and I don't want to hear all the stuff about, don't tell me about Marcus Garvey. I mean, like, if we don't know that by now, too bad.
It was a Black woman back in the day, and she was born with a tumor, which was her twin sister inside her body, and the feet and everything were hanging out. And I'm learning this Black history. She was very rich. She bought her family 200 acres of farm because the circus came and got her from her family and they paid her around and they paid her, and she was very wealthy. And then, and this is the same person said that she married a Caucasian guy and he stole whatever money he could from her, but she died.
He took her money.
He took her money, but before he took her money, she was able to put I think 11 or 7 of her sisters and brothers, paid for them to all go to college. She paid for her parents to have 200 acres of land, and she died at such a young age. She died at 23, but she was the head of the circus.
Did he kill her?
Oh, that tumor of her twin.
Tumor killed her.
Oh, it had to. It was still, you know, those tumors still grow. You know, it's a human that's growing in and outside of your body. So she, back then, I don't think they had the technology to remove it or even knew they could remove it. So eventually it, you know, took her away.
I never heard of her. I mean, if somebody, right? They could tell me that any day of the year and I'd be interested.
I Googled more. Yes, I Googled more of her to find out. And when I read it, I was more so inspired, like, that was so heroic of her to pay for all of her siblings fully to go to college. And they were all successful and all on the back of her as a young kid. She left the house, I believe, at 5. Oh, and was left her parents at 5 and was on the road traveling with this circus.
I can't believe they actually paid her.
Yeah.
You know how they do Black people.
Yeah.
They just use you up till you're all done. And then look at you like you're crazy when you say, where's my money, Joker?
I mean, you know. Yeah. See, that's the part of like Black history I've been thinking, like, oh my God, I wish they had taught us this heroic stuff. You know, that look how.
Tell me that any time of the year, February is the shortest month of the year. I don't think it's reasonable. But like, remember we were watching Amber, whatever her name is, mm-hmm. talking about the towns that were underwater, mm-hmm. that were raised and burned down.
Yeah.
We learned that it wasn't February. It was great to know. I am always open to hearing about our people, their successes, even the bad stuff.
Can we handle it? Can we handle this? Can we handle that much information, to the good and the bad that comes with it? Like, there was a whole community of Black communities that were in the 70s, well, not the 70s, it was more like the 60s and 50s, but there were whole communities of Black people that were fur coats, nice cars, dentists, doctors, lawyers, and
oh
then they
God.
All burned
Durham.
Down.
Oh, yeah.
They,
yeah. Yeah, we can handle it.
Can we handle
you
that?
Know what? Not only can we handle it, we need to handle it so that as we're moving forward now, we can be aware of what to look out for, because nothing has changed.
But
they will still try to take us down.
What are people like you who literally feel their vibration feeling, not that you're like that, but you know how you can't put up with so much negativity because it consumes you, because you're emotional and you feel it for them. So what about people like that who feel like,
I can handle it. Just don't give it to me all in 28 days of February.
Okay.
Spread it out. Put it in. You know, now I'm not going to watch any murders, mm-hmm. not of police killings, because we already know. And it's happening over and over. There's no need for me to watch it. You tell me the name. You tell me what happened. I know, oh God, they did it again. Mm-hmm. But other things,
so
they
where's
burned.
Your hope? Because if you hear about, there were hundreds and thousands of communities, I mean, across the whole United States and other countries, that you know that they were vibrant communities, successful communities, and now they're all gone because they were all murdered off again and again and again. Where's your hope?
The hope is that we did it before. Mm-hmm. We can do it again. We did
it
before multiple times. We can do it again. But now we know what they are capable of. Mm-hmm. And we have the ability to build in protections to prevent them from doing that. Now, if they pull a move like Black Wall Street, or like mm-hmm. the Move Group in Philadelphia, where they drop bombs on people, I mean, I don't know how we protect against that. But if they deputize the army and all that other BS they like to do, we can prepare for that. We can prepare for that. We can counter that. As long as they're not dropping bombs on us, we can build into our communities ways to know who's trying to infiltrate, what we need to do about it. It's important to know history. Back when all mm-hmm. those towns were created, they probably didn't think, you know, white people didn't want to be bothered with us. So we're bothered with ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're doing our thing. They probably never thought that somebody would come in and burn their town down. But now we know how.
That's my point of how do you build something when you know they can tear it down? So my thing is this, I feel like, did they do it with what we're talking about now? Did you build it regardless? You know,
regardless.
They heard about that town.
And this time you have some security. You have some security. Maybe you build a wall. Maybe you build a fence. Maybe you have cars that ride around. We know what they're capable of. So it's important we know it was done before, because we have the motivation and the confidence and everything that comes from knowing who we were, and then we can do it again, and we just have to build in some stuff. I mean, I'd like to know good and bad, but not all in 28 days, and I don't want to see any more, well, I don't want to see any murders of Black people by the police.
So
there we have it. So do you think that is not worth it, like learning of those things, because we're not motivated to try to do it again?
It's a double edge with me, because there's a young Nigerian man who invented equipment that runs on absolutely nothing. Like it runs on, and he's in the hospital. I don't know if he's still in the hospital.
They got him, and he had security guards.
No, they poisoned him. They poisoned him, and I had the article, and I was reading it, and I was traumatized because I remember seeing him first, and I remember all the comments. I read all the comments, and they were all like, "Lord, let's please pray to protect
him." They were like, "Protect him."
Yeah, I prayed too. Lord, please protect this gem, because I know that you know, Sphinx did not get made by whoever they think made it. I know it got made by Africans. I know it used to be Black. I know it used to be as Black as this shirt, but somehow over the years, it's light skin. So I know that. Nobody wants to admit that, or no one's going to ever say that, but I know for a fact.
No, we know that. All of us know that.
Yeah, the but
only
it
people
was
that don't know that is the colonizing invaders who are there now, who keep telling us how many centuries back they trace their ancestry, and we don't care because you invaded us. I don't know what to tell you.
And I wish my grandmother was still here, because she worked for a very wealthy Caucasian woman, and she went to Egypt back. Mind you, my grandmother was born in 1922, so I'm quite sure when she was working for this woman, she was about 25, she was doing her hair. She used to do hair, and the woman went to Egypt, and she brought back a picture of the Sphinx, and that picture, I've never even spoke about this. That picture will never leave my mind. It was a Black and white, but the face of the Sphinx was Black. She was standing in front of, I mean, it was buried more, with I guess the sand at the time. It was, and I'll never
forget. Yeah, it has grown a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and now, the excavators have moved a lot of it away from, you know, but I'll never forget looking at that Sphinx as a kid. Now I'm growing up and I stare at the Sphinx almost on an everyday basis, because I just can't believe.
Oh, you said you love Egypt.
I'm starting to feel like this one guy, he has this theory. He's a theorist, and he has this theory that, what if slavery never happened and they programmed us to believe it happened to enslave our minds? You saw that? So I found comfort in that. I found comfort in it, and it was cruel. It was a cruel comfort.
Well, people were upset. Those somebody said slavery is a hoax. Oh my God.
No, that's what he's saying. He didn't say it was from his, he said, what if? He was giving everybody the, you know, conspiracy part of his brain too. He was like, what if that was just something that was told to enslave your mind and body to get you to, you know, believe that you came from another country. What if you were already here and let's say
it did happen. They buried the towns, they mm-hmm. flooded them out, they burned mm-hmm. them down, mm-hmm. they murdered up the people. Mm-hmm. What would be the option? Are we gonna not do anything, never have anything, never try anything? I mean, you have to keep learning. That's why we're here.
I think that's what makes us resilient. Somehow we're still able to figure out the truth and see the future without even knowing, you know, even if we didn't experience it. Like, you know, you and I never experienced slavery, but we experienced the remnants from it. And, you know, we're able to figure out and feel and see what our ancestors laid down to give us, you know? So I think that's what makes us
going to be okay. I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but I think we're going to be okay. And I think that we just have to keep trying and moving forward and coming together. And sooner or later, things are going to change. I know that's very Pollyanna, but I just can't help but think we're going to
win. Words right out my mouth. But no, I agree with you, because I think with interracial marriage, interracial couples, whether gay, straight, or whatever, I just believe that when you have your own, it's kind of hard to be that person anymore. You know what I mean? Your family, who definitely have cut you off or whatever, might still have their views, but I'm talking about each one teach one. So if there's a woman who's married to a man outside her race, or a man who's married, it's hard for you to look at your child on that football field or soccer field or wherever you're looking and being proud of them. And then it's okay for someone to come along and just take their life I just feel like as a Caucasian person, I'm sorry. It's just to me, I just think that's not as barbaric.
They may be a part of it. I feel we win even if they don't get over it and marry amongst us and have kids mm-hmm. with us. There are cycles. We ruled before mm-hmm. and we will rule again. And their time is ending. That's how the world works. But that's just my opinion. I don't know.
Well, we have to talk about that because I'm hearing that a lot lately. It's called this. It's like a secret code word to saying, you know, time's up. 600 years is written in the Bible. Who used to be the slave will be the ruler and da da da. And I'm not into that because, like I told you, I've read the Bible, but my views on it still will stand to where they are. I don't live by it. So just because they say it in there, some things in there, I don't live by those same things, you know? So my thing is this, what do they mean when they say time is up?
We're really, really out of time. I guess we should talk about what is time is up and then the other topic that we had. Okay. What does time is up for the white folks? Rumor? No, is that what you mean?
For the mindset. It's not even about race for me. It's
okay, more so time is up for what?
Time is up for the mindset that is going on now with everything being so chaotic and Black people feeling like Blacks are killing Blacks. Blacks are being killed by the government and authority. Like, what does that mean? Because I'm hearing that all the time now. Like, it's ready to change. The end is here. What does that even mean?
Okay, well, we'll talk about that next time. In the meantime, any closing words?
I would just like to say that next time we come on, we definitely want to talk about cancel culture one more time. That's all I want to say.
Okay, we can always talk about
people
that.
Are getting canceled, like Whoopi and Joe Rogan. I want to know, is that what we're
Joe
doing?
Joe Rogan got canceled?
Oh, they're trying to cancel him really bad for saying the N-word as an explanation for something and not cutting it to just saying the N-word. He said the whole word. So I want to talk about that because I really want to know, are we really that? People in my family are offended by that. They are really
I don't watch
offended.
Joe Rogan. I don't really know about it. But okay, we can talk about that and the end is near and all of that. But I'm glad we had an opportunity to talk again tonight. And I hope our viewers enjoy it. Let us know what your thoughts are. And thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. By the time you see us again, I will have a birthday. So hopefully with this birthday comes more knowledge. And we're able to bring you some more interesting conversations.
Happy birthday, Tora.
We'll see you guys next time.
Bye-bye.
See you soon. Thank you for kicking it with Kim and Tora.
Absolutely.